Hey, hockey fans. Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
But we got what it takes for the cycle to break. Revolution lives in me.
Welcome to the Untamed and Unashamed podcast. I'm your host, Jade Bryce, and I am a certified love, intimacy, and relationship coach. I help women reconnect to their bodies and their pleasure, and I help men to become a safe space for that by becoming fully embodied leaders. The mission of this podcast is to expand our capacity in living untamed and unashamed. As we navigate life's ups and downs with all of the vulnerability, compassion, and openness that we can muster, and celebrating our bravery in all of it. Along with the help of guests from all walks of life, we'll discover new truths while doing some unlearning, and we'll gain valuable tools for becoming who we already are. So I invite you to open your heart and be untamed and unashamed. Our guest today teaches us how to get out of our heads and feel turned on instead. She studied human psychology for over 10 years with 2 master's degrees, worked in the corporate world facilitating behavioral experimentation, and is trained in embodied coaching practices for sex, love, and relationships. The same training that I did, which is how I know her. We met in Greece last year and it was unforgettable. Please help me welcome Rosa Maxwell to Untamed and Unashamed.
Hi.
Hi.
So happy to have you here. It's medicine to my soul. I am, you know, this will air in about 10 days, but we're still very much in the eclipse energy while we record this and Mercury retrograde. And so it's brought up so much for me in my life and created a bit of havoc. And so I'm in so much grief. I'm really open with the listeners. So I'm in so much grief. I've been crying all morning. I didn't sleep all last night. So being able to have you on the show today is perfect timing because I remember I mentioned to the listeners that I met you in Greece. And I remember when I got to Greece, I was coming out of a big grief period. And that's one of the reasons why I went is because I wanted closure to that chapter. And being around you and the other ladies, which, you know, were in no way like dismissive of where I was in life, but just were so like your playful energy. And we were meditating every morning and doing, you know, sex magic and going into town and getting, going to the Russian bathhouse, you know, things like that. So it was so the entire trip was so pleasure filled and pleasure themed that it expanded my capacity. And it reminded me as well that grief doesn't steal our pleasure. We can experience it at the same time. So those are great topics to dive into today. I know. Maybe we can start off with talking about that experience in Greece. Anything you want to share?
I remember the moment we met and I was like, who is this woman?
Like,
and it was the most beautiful. And I remember at that time there were only 4 or 5 of us. We were so small, and like instantly we became like family. We instantly felt like that sisterhood that I know so many people don't get to experience, and that and there's so much magic and healing when you can be. And that was the thing that I remember, like you in that grief space, myself as well. I was out of an 8-year relationship So really there was a lot for me that was being healed, that was coming up, and to be able to all be there in that rawness of the emotion and really just allow it to be what it is. I think that's one of the secrets that allowed us to experience more of the pleasure while we were there, because we were just allowing the movement of everything. Like emotion for me is energy in motion. Yeah. So the more we were letting the grief be there, the more we could experience the pleasure. And I remember the tears. I remember the morning Joe Dispenza meditations. Yeah. I remember the swims in the ocean, every laugh. As it was just pure bliss and alchemy, the whole thing.
Yeah. And I remember we chose our three flavors for each other. And that felt really beautiful to be seen in a way of like, because I think mine was like blissful, fairy-like, and magical or something, was like, I think the ones y'all came up for me, it's not along those lines. And I remember thinking like, that is truly how I feel here. And this is truly how I can feel in life. You know, if I'm dedicated to connecting to these parts of myself continually. I remember, and I did a solo cast, maybe about Lakshmi while I was there.
I remember
I shared this on that episode, but I shared that what was really cool for me is I've always felt like a Phoebe from Friends, you know, everyone likes her. Everyone knows she's a good person, but she's still kind of the most different one that like says the weird things and like is awkward and is like the last to know about things, gets left out a little bit, but not intentionally. It's just, that's how Phoebe's life is, you know? And so I've always felt that way. And, you know, at times it can be a very big pain point for me. And I remember being on the way there, and even like with that kind of core feeling about myself, there was no nervousness about like, I hope the women like me. I hope everyone's nice. I hope, because I had at that point already healed so much of my sister wounds just by having like conscious communication and conscious conflict with other women, that I went in with a completely open heart and fear-free of like what may happen there with a bunch of women I'd never met in my life, you know? And that was a really cool feeling. And I remember, you know, we called it Pussy Mansion. And so like, we'll give Sandra credit for that. But I remember, you know, having kind of a general idea of how we would be co-creating and working there. But I remember I didn't pack any pajamas, and the next morning I wanted to go into the kitchen and get coffee, and I didn't know what I wanted to wear yet that day. So I was just going to tiptoe in there and thinking like, I hope it's okay that I'm like going into the kitchen naked to get a cup of coffee. And I get in there and you're naked and you just throw your arms around me.
I remember that moment. I was like, I'm so happy to hear this story again, because I remember that moment so completely, where I was like, ooh, you've caught me naked in the kitchen. And you were just like, I'm naked too.
You threw your arms around me. You were like, I'm so happy you slept well. And I just remember feeling like it was such a wonderful feeling to have that type of comfortability. And you know, at that point we'd only known each other maybe 12 hours, so that's what's can be really beautiful when you've healed relationships with women and gotten to that point of not viewing women as like competition, or competition. It's like I notice a lot of times in Austin at like these conscious community parties, it's like Los Angeles's version of like, what do you do? It's like what's your magic? Because it's like people are almost trying to network and see if they want to, if you're going to benefit them. Right. So it's, sometimes it can be competition. Other times it's like a weird version of this, like, is there going to be an exchange here? You know what I mean? And when you step out of that and you just live with an open heart and you arrive ready to love, and wrap your arms around the other naked lady in the kitchen, it really is such a beautiful healing experience. So yeah,
that's so true. And I'm super curious, because I feel the same, like with that work around the sister wound, being able to in that moment, just really feel the love. Like there was no point in my mind that was like, oh, I wonder what Jade can give me. or like, I wonder what, like, you know, that didn't even cross my mind. And so I would be so curious to hear in your experience, what is it that helped you with that sistering? Because I remember you were so just open and loving. I had even tears in my eyes as you were sharing earlier just about those moments, because I can remember it was just that heart open, and it made me feel that power of when you can connect in this depth, when you've done that self-work. And so I'd be super curious, like, what it was in your journey that helped you really be able to step into your fullness in, like, sisterhood and in connection with other women.
Yeah, I think it's two things. I think one was I made sure to be very active in a women's group where we were together and grieving and doing healings on each other and dancing and, you know, throwing things into the fire. I haven't practiced plant medicine in a while, but at the time I was doing that with them. And so there was this, years of like really letting myself be seen. And like speaking out loud, like the parts of myself that I was ashamed of, and feeling from those women acceptance. And I remember in one situation, like coming back from Layla's Tantra retreat and talking about it a little bit and feeling a bit of judgment. And, you know, normally in the past, you know, prior to this experience, I would have maybe just been like, oh, I don't belong here. Like they don't understand me. And instead I said it in the moment. I said, I'm feeling shame for like sharing an experience. It was so magical for me. And I remember one of the women said, how can we alchemize it? And we just talked. And so it's like having experiences like that with women who are willing to communicate in that way, stay open, and especially work through conflict. I think that was what gave me trust in women. And because I'm recording my book right now, and you'd think that, I mean, so much of my wounding was from men.
Yeah.
The abandonment was from men, but the kind of like the pushing out and the shunning and the feeling like not trusted was from women. And so that was like a really deep core wound of mine. And so getting in a sisters group where we're meeting, you know, at the time it was twice a month, really sharing I did this ugly thing, you know, or this thing I'm not proud of, reflected back, you know, acceptance for my humanness. And then, so that was really beautiful. And then the second thing is part of what I already mentioned is like working through conflict. It really builds so much trust. If you have women in your life who are willing to, when things get hard or when, like, I remember I really wanted this purse. That a friend had, and I told her I was going to get it. And she was like, she didn't want me to have it because she wanted to be the only one with it. And it really hurt my feelings. And like, that could have been an unspoken resentment that I would have wanted to come between. And she was a bit snappy about it too. And I could have like been snappy back, and, you know, things could have, you know, who knows where they could have gone. But I was really committed to, I remember on a mushroom ceremony once the medicine saying like, do not have any unspoken grievances with other medicine women, and really women, but like medicine women specifically. And so this woman, I said, I feel like there's something deeper here. What's there? And so just the ability to like not brush things under the rug and like build up resentments or have like conflict or just have conflict where you're not keeping an open heart. I feel like that's where we stay wounded with women. If we can keep an open heart and really like dialogue and ask like what's underneath this, I feel like that's when trust gets really built up, and then you build up the safety with women, and then it just ripples out into the rest of your life is how I feel.
Oh, Jade, I love that so much because it rings so true to me, is that ability to build trust, to manage and navigate conflict, to be able to then come from an open heart. And I think one of the things when it comes to the space of conflict navigation is it's not necessarily, it's how we approach it. It's like, and what I'm hearing is that you're approaching it with this like open heart. It's like, I want to understand this deeper, understand myself deeper, understand you deeper, not just to be in conflict and mm-hmm. be right or wrong. And I think that that's one of the things when I think about like healthy relationships or like sex lives or things like that mm-hmm. is being able to navigate in this way that takes out the charge. And one of the things that like, as I was listening to you speak and I was reflecting on my own journey, like one of the things that has been my biggest superpower in that is knowing that I can always resource into myself, that I can always like come back to that, that like whatever happens in conflict, whatever happens if someone's then does decide to abandon me, if the purse was too much of a big deal and they're like, I'm out, is that okay? Well, I've still got me, like I can still hold me. And one of the things that for me that's underneath that is like I always have the ability to tap back into like pleasure, or tap back into like the present moment, or tap back into self-love and that experience. And it really reminds me of you know, things would happen at Pussy Mansion, like we would have conflicts, there would be things that would potentially go unsaid and that would then kind of come up later. And the thing that I always found so powerful was that we could dance or hug or sing or cry mm-hmm. together to then, so it's that really being witnessed in all of that together.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, it's so, so beautiful among women. And it's really, if you think about it, it's how we develop safety in relationship as well. In romantic relationship, sure, like you feel loved in all the little moments where everything's fine. But if your partner can't have a conscious dialogue with you in conflict, there's no safety.
There's no safety. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, so that is, it's a big, big craving in romantic relationships as well. And I'm so thankful that, I'm so thankful for that whole experience and for, please go see George at the Russian spa for me.
I will. I have so many stories about masseuses with George, like named George. There are now three that I have had mind-blowing experiences, and I will definitely go see George when I'm there in a few weeks' time and tell him you say hi. I know. Oh, sexy George. That man, to be fair, that man taught me safety and the ability to, because I used to really struggle with being in connection with the masculine and feeling safe to really allow myself to be a sexual, like sexually expressed in front of men, for fear that it might get taken advantage of, or fear I would cross my own boundaries, or things would happen, or I'd let things go too far because I'd go into free state. And I remember that's, Pussy Mansion that time was really the beginning of this year-long journey of really coming back into safety with the masculine and really feeling safe to express myself. And I remember going and seeing George and like lying on the table, and he would so lovingly wash my hair and like massage my body. And the way that he would cut
chin. Made sure the soap didn't get in my eyes. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
I cried the whole time.
The entire time I was telling myself, I am safe. Like, I am safe. Yeah. I am safe. And these somatic experiences are so powerful to recondition into safety. So thanks, George.
I'm going back to Greece for just for that. Because I remember we did a defensive meditation where I felt like I moved into my highest timeline. And you know, that's the timeline I'm in now, which seems to not be working, which is interesting. It's like such a weird feeling to have like have that experience where I'm like in my highest timeline, and then a year later to the date almost feeling like wait, I thought this was my highest timeline, what's happening, you know? But I remember leaving and we drove into town where Trevor Hall was playing on your radio, and you know, he at the Russian bathhouse, he was, you know, scrubbing me very, very hard, which felt like he was scrubbing off the old timeline. He had no idea, you know, that I just came from this transcendental meditation, but I felt like the old timeline was being scrubbed off. And then when he poured the hot water and then the cold water and when he was there, I felt like he was just like, it was an anointing. And I remember I hadn't had my hand held in like 6 months at least. And he like moved my arm. He like took my hand and then moved the soap from my face. And I just cried because it felt so healing to just be touched by, you know, I mean, it's not that he even knows possibly that he's holding that type of energy space for us, but that's at least what spirit was using it for. So
thank you for, I mean, Trevor Hall was just a dream, and I still listen to Joyful Man by Maestra.
Yeah, me too.
Like almost every day. Almost every day. And you introduced me to that song, and that's like one of the
biggest you introduced me to it.
Oh, did I?
Yes. You introduced me to it, and I danced
to it. Who introduced
it
to me?
I don't know.
I'll have to thank them. Okay.
Yeah, I danced to it every day outside at the pool while we were there praying for my next partner, because it was, you know, the worth of it.
Perfect song. It's the perfect song. I was with my best friend, my best female friend, and we've been going through some big shadowy stuff, and we just both cried and listened to it in the car and like sobbing our eyes out, because it was how... What I thought was so interesting in that song is, yeah, it's the desire to be held like that. I have that from the masculine, but feeling, oh, I already have this with my best friend. And I was like, how fucking cool is that?
Yeah.
Like, how cool is that? Like, just seeing all of the shadows and all of those pieces. And I love that we started, like, you know, talking about grief, because when we can love all of these emotions and all of these parts of us, and like see all of these parts of us, let them be seen by other women, by our partners, by whatever gender our partner is, but in romantic relationships, which can be so fear-filled, it allows us to experience so much more pleasure and so much more of that erotic aliveness as well. And so I think it's just that song reminds me of that so, so deeply.
Yeah. Oh, I feel all of that like at once in my chest. I can feel it all. So I do want to talk about like what is erotic mindfulness and all of that, but maybe because we are touching on grief, we can talk about maybe the power of pleasure as a nervous system regulation tool, but also the power of pleasure when it comes to grief. Because I know a lot of people it could be used as escapism if we weren't careful.
Yeah.
For me, what my pleasure practice looks like when I'm in grief is crygasms. Like, it's not even really pleasure. It's like I am crying, and there's a much more energetic release than if I weren't in my pleasure practice. And I'm like, I'm bawling, and I can feel it like moving. And then once I feel it moved, I continue the pleasure practice, asking to be filled up with my desire. And so, to be honest, I don't know how I would get through my grief without my pleasure practice. And maybe that does sound like a crutch. But you could say that about prayer. You could say that about breath, you know, you could say that about dance. And, there's been no more, like besides dance, actually, like it has been the most powerful tool for me. Is my pleasure practice when it comes to grief and when it comes to trust and remembering my queen and remembering my worth. There's something about, you know, I can do dispensa and I can get really, some dispensa practices can be as powerful as pleasure practice, and then others are like really, really difficult for me, and I actually feel a bit wobbly. I'm not sure what that is yet, but there's something about, you know, the state of a pleasure practice where all the cloudiness gets removed and you really hear
I feel that too. When it comes to grief, one of the most powerful and even like transcendental and like mind-blowing experiences I had was actually this year in grief. I went through a big grief portal, even though the long-term relationship, the 8-year relationship I was in, was ended about just over 2 years ago now, I think, maybe a little less or a little more. Who knows? The timelines are all like merge into one sometimes. And we went through another breakup portal where there was like maybe the possibility that we might get back together. And like there was a lot of miscommunication. Things got very intense. And I remember experiencing more grief in this second like breakup portal than I did in the first one, because I think for that whole year I hadn't fully like let go or like let the idea go that we wouldn't get back together.
Yeah.
And then after this second grief portal, I remember I was house sitting for my parents and I needed the space. Like I just needed to like really be in my solitude. And I remember...
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at USAHockeyNTDP.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
It's around the time of my birthday as well. And I remember like spending the day of my birthday and the grief was so all consuming that I was in the kitchen and there was one point where the grief like just overwhelmed me. And rather than numbing out, and I think this was a big like noticing point in my journey, because previously I would go into freeze mode and I would numb out and it would just be, you know, Netflix or scrolling on Instagram or distraction. And through like a lot of the tantric practices that we were taught through Layla's training and in my own self-exploration, I've learned to really allow myself to be in the emotion and to feel it, because I now know that the more I allow myself to feel all of the emotion, like the less I numb, and then the less I numb, the more I feel orgasmic pleasure as well. The more I used to be anorgasmic, I used to really struggle to orgasm, and now I can like orgasm, have multi-orgasmic experiences all the time, which I know is like possible for everyone, because I used to feel like the most broken human being in the world when it came to this. And I remember this moment, like being in the kitchen and the wave of grief just overtook my body. And rather than stopping it, I let myself really feel it. I managed to make it to about like the steps to the door and I literally collapsed. I collapsed like sobbing on the floor. And as I just let myself cry, the energy started to transform into like orgasm and pleasure. And like my body just started shaking and shaking and shaking. And I was genuinely almost like screaming in orgasmic pleasure, because the energy, because I'd let myself feel so much of the grief, the grief had gone all the way down to my root and then started to come all the way back up again, but as this exquisite pleasure. Because what I've learned with grief is that really at the root of it is love. We wouldn't grieve if we didn't love. Mm-hmm. And when we can experience the pleasure of the grief in that way, when we can change our mindset and really like realize like, ah, this is actually like a really loving emotion, then that mindset shift for me is what really transformed everything. And I see that with my clients as well, when they shift their mindsets around emotion and these things that they might typically want to suppress and instead like lean into it and allow it and the trust that they won't be stuck in it. Cause I think there can be the fear that you're going to be stuck, but the amount of like orgasmic experience that can come. And that blew my mind. And I was like, all right, grief. Now, whenever it comes up, I'm like, okay, come here. Like, how can I love you? How can I like really let myself feel you so I can come to that like crygasm, as you mentioned, like really, and bring it into my self-pleasure practice as well. I think there's such a misconception that you have to be in the mood for self-pleasure or self-pleasure is about orgasm and getting yourself to this like goal. But the way that I really love to teach around self-pleasure is that it's a practice for self-love and nourishment and really exploring your orgasmic state in whatever state you're in, whatever emotional state you're in grief is such a, and how you can then transmute the grief with the pleasure, just as you said, as you said.
I'm curious if any of you have tried Paleo Valley's Organ Complex. Organ pills are also known as nature's multivitamin. Most people are taking a multivitamin and think that it's making them healthier. However, it's best to get the nutrients your body needs in whole food form. Organ Complex is one of the most nutrient-dense foods on the planet and the richest natural source of so many vitamins that many people are deficient in. Organ meats are nature's most potent source of B12 and contains vitamin K, choline, vitamin A, and other nutrients that will help your brain thrive. Most of us are tired and supplementing with caffeine, but liver is such a powerful energy booster that researchers have deemed it the organ meat with a potent anti-fatigue factor. It's also a natural hair, skin, and nail booster. And if you know anyone coming off of birth control, this pill replenishes the minerals depleted by birth control pills. For me, it has helped me with my iron issues in the past and has really helped with my period symptoms and my energy levels. I love eating organ meats as a meal with my family, but we can't do that every day. And so I'm really thankful to have this supplement. I take 4 capsules daily with fat and vitamin C for ultimate absorption. I use Paleo Valley's Essential C Complex with it. You can head over to paleovalley.com/jade for 15% off your first order. That's paleovalley.com/jade. paleovalley.com/jade for 15% off your first order. Now on with the show.
Yeah. And so that makes me think of 2 things with grief, you know, because you said about it's grief is love. And it's hard to feel that way when you feel like you're grieving lost love, right? But if you can think at the amount of your grief, like, wow, look at the amount that I'm able to love. Like, I wouldn't grieve this hard if I wasn't able to love this hard. And so that's really beautiful. Like, our capacity to love is so big. And the other thing you said, the numbing. You know, if the thought of like, if someone is able, having a hard time experiencing orgasm and pleasure, to just look at where in your life are you numbing, because it's going to bleed over. And so that's like the place to start, is like not numbing in any area.
Yeah. And it makes so much sense that we numb, because we're not taught to like feel our feelings. We're taught that showing grief or being sad or, oh, don't cry. Yeah. How many times I was told, oh, don't cry. What are you making a fuss about?
Yeah.
And so it makes so much sense. And for anyone listening who might be resonating and feeling this experience of numbness or this challenge at really accessing emotion, that know that that's okay and that that's normal, because you likely weren't taught that it was safe to feel your emotions. Mm-hmm. And as someone who I used to experience very severe anxiety and depression, that used to be my natural waking state, would be, I would wake up in fear. I would genuinely wake up in fear of the day that was going to be ahead of me. And I didn't know that there was like another way, and it felt like it was never going to end. And that feeling is really scary. And what I've found is through pleasure practice and through this sort of like emotional alchemy, through using my experience of self-pleasure to move emotions, and from really devoting and like committing myself to like a regular self-pleasure practice, that's allowed me to know that even if I wake up and I experience, say, a low mood or anxiety, is that I now have the tools to transform that and transmute that and change that. And one of the things that I found, just as you mentioned earlier, like pleasure is a nervous system regulation tool. Mm-hmm. Like, it's one of the most healing things that we have in our toolbox. And I think it's something there's a lot of shame around accessing it, or there's a lot of, I don't know how to access this. I don't have the tools, or I don't feel equipped. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I wish is for every single woman, but every single human, to really know the power of their pleasure and their sexual pleasure and their arousal, and how that can really be fuel for their whole lives, and use it as this superpower for resilience, for self-love, for empowerment, confidence, like all of those pieces. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cause I hear as well when you share, and I'd be curious about your experience, but, and what that even, maybe even what that journey's been like for you, like using pleasure as this tool, as this resource to support you, like through your grief and through when you're feeling stressed or anxious or low.
Yeah. Well, the main thing for me, because I used to have extreme anxiety and depression as well, and it still shows its head for sure. Yeah. It's here very active in this eclipse season for me. And the thing, you know, I mentioned it already, but like a big part of it is reminding myself that it doesn't mean that I can't experience pleasure, that pleasure can still exist. Even if I'm having depression and anxiety, I have access to pleasure.
Yes.
That's something I can access myself.
Yeah.
That can be taken away. And that's huge for me. But also, even in the anxiety and the depression, or on times where life feels like it's thriving, to be able to access pleasure and flood our nervous system with those feel-good chemicals that we're creating on our own. There's something about just a woman's nervous system who lives from pleasure. It doesn't mean, you know, because a lot of women, for them, that pleasure practice may be dance. It may be body. It may be eating, like drinking warm cacao, you know, it can be so many things. So it's to be fluid. Like in what way can you access pleasure right now? You know, because sometimes I'm in so much grief and I'm laying at my altar with my cervical wand, and my body's actually saying no, like move, just dance, just cry. However, when my body does say yes, because I do always make sure there's a yes there. When my body does say yes and I move into a pleasure practice, I always remember who I am. I remember my worth. And that's what it tends to be, what depression and anxiety can steal from us, is remembering who we are, how worthy we are.
I agree. And you know what's wild? And as you speak, and I feel like so emotional hearing you talk, because I know how many women, how many human beings experience this as well. Like, I know how prevalent anxiety and depression are in our societies, and we have this like epidemic of stress. And what I love hearing you say, because this is one of the misconceptions that I hear a lot with the women I work with, particularly around self-pleasure, is again this idea that self-pleasure is about like touching ourselves or touching the pussy or really bringing that the self to orgasm. And what I see is that this pressure stops people, the pressure almost to experience a certain type of pleasure stops the experience of allowing to feel the pleasure that's actually there in the present moment that the body actually wants. And hearing you say like that, checking in whether your body is a yes or a no, checking in to see like, okay, I might just lie and cry with my cervical wand on my womb space instead of like actually putting it inside me. And that is so powerful. And that's something that I'm really passionate about shifting. And the other thing I just remembered as you were speaking is that I know you kind of mentioned as well erotic mindfulness, and what blew my mind as you were speaking is that when we were in when we were together in Pussy Mansion, that was where Erotic Mindfulness downloaded.
Oh, yeah.
And I completely forgot that until just now. And as I was hearing you speak, I was like, that's the reason why. Mm. That's the reason why it exists. And that's one of the reasons, because it's about exactly as you're saying, this experience of being able to find the pleasure that exists in every single present moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how powerful that is.
Yeah. And I think taking off that expectation of what the pleasure will feel like is huge, because I think a lot of women will keep themselves from stepping into a pleasure practice, whatever that may look like, because they don't want to feel disappointment.
Yeah.
If they don't receive what they were looking for, they don't experience pleasure. So if you take that off, that expectation off, and you just open, you know, to whatever ends up happening, that's where a lot of the magic can happen. Because I think, I mean, in my 20s, before any of this was mindful, I remember always being disappointed whenever I was, you know, and so it was like, well, why bother, you know? And so a lot of that, like, we've experienced that in our 20s, and then in our 30s and 40s, we still kind of have that thought, you know, like, why bother? Yeah. And so if we can take that off, that fear of disappointment, I think is huge. But is that what you feel erotic mindfulness is like mindfully using erotic energy for these parts of our life?
Yeah. So erotic mindfulness for me, when I was creating it, and what I really wanted was a system on like steps and like a way to encapsulate the most powerful things that I've found in my own journey. And we've actually talked about so much of it already, and really build it into a way that is like, so like three simple steps that is so easy that anyone can just take it and use it and be able to implement it. And what I like to think of it in erotic mindfulness is that it's a way of life, rather than, you know, you might have your regular yoga practice that you do every morning. You might even have your regular pleasure practice that you do every day, on regular meditation. And I have all of those, and I freaking love all of those. And I'm like scheduling them in, and I've got my meditation time aside. I've got my pleasure practice date, like, all scheduled into my diary. And when it comes to erotic mindfulness, the thing that I really love about this concept, and also the course that I created from this, is that it's not about having to do like a particular practice every single day, that once the tools are embedded, it's just how you experience life. And so that anytime you need, it gives you the ability to tap into the pleasure of the present moment. And the way that I like to teach it, and the way that I've really distilled it in my practice and with the community that I have around it, is it begins with being able to return to the present moment. And so this is something that I find so often, like with the stress that we experience in society, with often the women that I work with, and I'd be curious if you resonate with this, like always being stuck in the head. Mm-hmm. You know, like anxiety is that feeling of worrying about the future. Depression is that feeling of ruminating in the past. These things are the things that are keeping us from being able to experience like pleasure in the present moment. So that first step is always returning to the present moment, being in this. And I love to teach that through the power of breath. Because often as adults, we forget how to breathe like deeply and diaphragmatically. So when we can return to the present and re-regulate our nervous systems, if there's any experience of stress, then we can anchor ourselves in. The breath is such an anchor. And then once we're there, the second part is then being able to really tap into and resource, like this is where pleasure gets to be that regulation tool, that resource, like resourcing into pleasure. And the challenge that I find with the women that I work with is often like a disconnect from the body. A disconnect from being able to really sense and notice and feel pleasure. That's often one of the first places that I work with around people on is like, oh, okay, we're spending so much time in our minds. how can we return to the present and then bring it into the felt sensation in the body? And this might not also always be pleasurable. Like we've been talking about grief. It's like, it's what will help us break out of the freeze and break out of the numbing by really being able to tap into that felt sense and our felt sensations in our body. Like, what does that grief feel like? Where do I feel it? Mm-hmm. Like, where can I experience pleasure? Can I experience pleasure if I'm deep in the grief? Can I feel the pleasure in the grief? Or if I'm so deep in the grief, can I feel the pleasure of my hands on my skin and use that to nourish me? If I'm in self-pleasure, can I really tap into the sensation of my hands on my body? If I'm in sex, can I really tap into the sensation of my lover's breath on my neck? So it's about resourcing into the felt sensations of pleasure. And then the third bit that I find within erotic mindfulness and where it gets really unique is the sense that once you have those pieces, for anyone who struggles to feel orgasmic or really experience like their full force of eros, is that once you have those two core pieces, those two pieces of being in the present moment and then resourcing into pleasure, then you can expand the turn on. Then it can get like juicy, because then you can expand that feeling, that sensation through different breathwork techniques, movement and sound. So these like three core tantric orgasmic tools. And when you have all of those things, what I found is it's crazy empowering, because you're like, great. I know that if wherever I am, if I desire to experience more pleasure and like experience more of my turn on, experience more of that erotic aliveness, if I've been feeling meh, if I've been stuck in a low mood, these three things are the only things that I need to get myself out of it. And what I've loved witnessing over the past year since the course has been running is really seeing women being able to get themselves out of freeze, being able to get themselves out of sexual ruts with their partners, where maybe they just are never in the mood. And so that mostly it's like arguing about or feeling guilt or shame about not having regular sex and things like that. It's like seeing those things shift, because these tools, they're so simple, but so empowering. And that once you know how to do all these things, then it's like, great, let me just like tap into this at any moment in time. Let me tap into this, like even right now as we speak, I'm like gripping my thighs and like running my hands over my body, because it feels really yummy to experience. And so that's really erotic mindfulness in a nutshell. And yeah, I'm so grateful for our time in Crete, because with the energy of you and Sandra and Emma and everyone, it really allowed this to be created. Mm. And for me to have that space to be like, oh, this is it. This is the medicine that like I'm here to teach. Did we do the human design stuff together? Were you there when we did that?
No, it was the night I left, I think.
Okay, I'll have to read yours at some point, but it was it was really from that human design reading, and noticing it's like, oh, this is what has been so transformational in my journey. It's what's taken me from being anxious every morning to feeling pleasure every day. It's what's taken me from struggling to orgasm to being able to orgasm through breath work alone. And that was just in under 3 years, like the journey of transformation. So I really am super excited for every single human being to experience the power of their own pleasure and like really to give it back, to hand it back.
Yeah, and it trains the body, you know. You talked about being in the head, because it can be hard to regulate our nervous system or to ease the anxiety when we're in our head. And you can't really experience pleasure when you're in your head. You can't think your way to pleasure. And so it builds up that capacity, that ability to get out of the head. The more you you know, build up this habit and this, this like wire and fire, you know?
You've nailed it, because that's what this really is to build that habit. Just like meditation can build a habit of presence, mm-hmm. just like pleasure practices can build a habit of infusing life with more pleasure. Mm-hmm. Like erotic mindfulness really builds the habit of being able to tap into the pleasure that's available in every present moment and mm-hmm. expand on it when you really desire.
Mm-hmm. So I'm curious, like I can feel like probably some women listening are like, yeah, but I homeschool 3 kids, or I work a 9-to-5, or, you know, yeah, but I'm breastfeeding and up all hours of the night. Right. And so there may be like lower energy levels when it comes to just even having a sex drive at all, or wanting to connect to pleasure. It feels like that's the last thing that I have time for. So maybe we can talk about that, like the low energy levels.
Thank you for listening to part 1 of Rosa Maxwell. Stay tuned next time for part 2.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at USAHockeyNTDP.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.